time to wake up. It's Saturday morning. Find some milk and cereal. Grab a bowl and spoon. No, a bigger spoon. Head to the living room and take a seat on the floor while Joseph and Chris present to you
Saturday Morning Cartoon!
Hello everybody and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoon Boom! This is a show where we wake up with the Saturday morning sun, plop down on the floor with a big bowl of sugary cereal and watch all your favorite cartoons, both old and new. I'm Joseph.
And I'm Chris.
And this morning, we watched Big Mouth.
Which is like a misleading title because nobody's mouth is really that big. They just curse a lot.
Well, I think it's specifically to Nick Kroll.
Yeah, his mouth isn't that big, but I mean, well, yeah, it's big-ish. It's big-ish. I've seen bigger mouths. You know, have you seen the guy from Aerosmith? Good Lord.
True, but as far as animations go, his mouth's pretty big.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
So we chose this one.
Yes. Yes, we did.
Because we had been watching it when I was visiting and it's hilarious. So we decided to cover it.
Yeah, we like marathon the crap out of this thing within a couple of days.
A lot of which I've forgotten. So we're going to go over three episodes instead that I had to rewatch.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah. So we did our normal three episodes of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Big Mouth came out in 2017, this year. It's created by Nick Kroll, Andrew Goldberg, Mark Levin, and Jennifer Flackett. Produced by Danger Goldberg Productions, Good at Business, Inc., Fat House Industries, and Titmouse, Inc. It's 10 episodes so far on Netflix, and for a short synopsis, teenage friends find their lives upended by the wonders and horrors of puberty.
Yeah.
That's pretty literal in certain senses.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't really consider that age group teenagers, really. I guess, I mean, if they're 13, I guess technically they are, but I still think of that as like that pre-adolescence thing, you know, like the preteen thing. But,
yeah,
you know, I guess 13 counts.
Yeah, I mean, they're technically teenagers, but they're still, they don't have much experience under their belt.
Right, exactly.
Literally.
With anything. Literally, there's not a lot of experience under their belts. Or hair.
So who are some of the actors who played in this show?
Okay, so the voices of Nick, Maurice the Hormone Monster, and Coach Steve were all done by Nick Kroll, who's been in things such as Bad Day, Parks and Recreation, Kroll Show, aptly named, and The League, which is probably the thing he's the most famous for. The voice of Andrew was provided by John Mulaney from things such as Main Street, Saturday Night Live, Mulaney, also aptly named, and Kroll Show. The voice of Jesse was provided by Jesse Klein. Really imaginative there, guys. Who also voiced in Lucy, Daughter of the Devil, which was an old Adult Swim show that I vaguely remember, and like no one else seems to remember that show existed.
I kind of do.
H. John Benjamin, I think, was in that as well. I think. I don't know.
Hmm.
She was also in Michael and Michael Have Issues and Inside Amy Schumer. Voice of Jay was provided by Jason Mantzoukas, known for Parks and Recreation, Kroll Show, The League, Transparent, and Brooklyn Nine-Nine. The voice of Missy, provided by Jenny Slate, known for Saturday Night Live, Bored to Death, House of Lies, Park and Recreation, Kroll Show, Bob's Burgers, and Zootopia. The voice of Connie, the Hormone Monstress, was Maya Rudolph, who I think most people would recognize that name. She's been in City of Angels, Up All Night, Saturday Night Live for 16 years. The movie Away We Go, Bridesmaids, and Sisters. And then finally, the voice of the ghost of Duke Ellington was Jordan Peele, known for Mad TV, Fargo, Children's Hospital, Key and Peele, and he also wrote and directed the hit horror movie of this past year, Get Out. So super, super good cast. Lots of people from Saturday Night Live, lots of people from The League and The Kroll Show. So this is a whole cast that's really used to working with each other.
Yeah, and a lot of funny people in the same show together, and it shows, and they have good verbal chemistry.
Yep, and I think that's that really kind of shines through in this in particular. Like, you know, sometimes I kind of wonder if anything in here was like improv or like how much the different voice actors had input on some of the lines and writing and stuff, because so many of these people are, I mean, professional comedians, you know, not just voice actors. And you can kind of see, if you're familiar with any of their other roles and works and stuff like that, you can kind of see some of their personal, you know, senses of humor kind of showing up in some of the characters.
You can definitely tell that the writer's room of this has got to be hilarious. Just having a good time.
Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah. It's got it. Like, they need to install webcams in that place and stream it, because that would be so much fun to watch.
So as far as marshmallows go out of our big bowl of Big Mouth cereal, there's really not a lot. Most of what I could find on it was just basically saying how everybody's been in all these different shows together. And that's great, but that's not marshmallow worthy. But one thing that I did notice, and this is from one of the episodes we watched for today's show, Pillow Talk, when Nick and Andrew are talking to Duke Ellington in New York City after his encounter with the elderly lady, there's a billboard behind them with Daniel Kaluuya's face on it. And Daniel Kaluuya is the guy who he was a star of Get Out, Jordan Peele's movie. And it's a movie ad that reads Stay Out. And that's a spoof of Get Out, obviously.
Yeah. You know, I didn't notice that the first time I watched it. The second time I watched this, I noticed it. And I was like, oh, my God, that's awesome.
Yeah. So I'm sure there might be other things like strewn across the show that are references to other shows that the stars have been in. But I didn't notice any personally, and nor could I really find many. So that's what I got for now. Just one big marshmallow, I suppose.
One big old huge sticky marshmallow.
It's like your whole bowl is taken up by this one marshmallow. It's almost like the hot chocolate marshmallows that are made for hot chocolates, where you put them in the cup and they take up the whole thing.
Yeah, I don't like those, because then like just my mustache and my nose gets covered in marshmallow and I can't get to the dark chocolate.
Yeah, it's really, you're not really drinking hot chocolate at that point as much as eating the hot chocolate that's been absorbed by the single marshmallow, the monstrous marshmallow.
Yeah, and it's really hard to pour Bailey's in there if you got a big marshmallow blocking the whole thing.
Challenge accepted.
Nice.
There's not really, I mean, normally this is where I would say, do you have any memories of the show? But since it's brand new and really we just kind of watched it together, our memories would be, hey, I remember watching that. This with you. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember watching that together a couple of weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty much it.
And I remember us laughing hysterically the whole time.
Yeah. God,
and cringing a few times, like, ugh.
Yeah. There's definitely some shocking moments. And since this is brand new, we'll try to stay away from too much spoilery stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's really worth seeing yourself. Like, take this away from this episode, if nothing else. Please go watch the show if you're not a kid. If you're a child, please do not watch this show, because A, you wouldn't understand, and B, it's definitely adult humor.
Yeah. And that said, because this is definitely meant for mature audiences, if you are under the age of, you know, what might be appropriate, like, I don't know what age that is. Is it 17? Is it 13? I don't know.
17, 18, maybe.
Yeah, this is probably not the episode for you, because I'm sure that we're going to be, you know, we're going to be talking about some of the stuff that happens, because there's no way to not talk about it.
Yeah. And
so
it's mature audiences only in this case.
So if you're not a mature audience, I would skip this episode and wait for next week.
Or if you're immature in just the right ways, then please listen in.
Yeah. If you are interested and want to listen anyway, you know, like, I'm not advocating, you know, minors to listen to this episode, but if you do, don't listen to it around your parents, because it's going to get super awkward.
I wonder, is there a thing that's like, you know, not safe for work, the NSFW? I wonder if there's like a NSFP, like not safe for parents or around parents.
I think we're going to NSFP. That just made me think of the band Ninja Sex Party, but yeah. NSFP, guys, not safe for parents.
Maybe, hold on, NSAP, not safe around parents. There you go.
Not safe around parents. Okay.
But I think we let in enough with the disclaimers, so many disclaimers. So if you're still listening, then we warned you. So here we go.
Yeah, we warned. You've been warned. So, you know, don't get mad at us later.
Right. And,
you know,
and have your parents, if your parents do hear it and they get mad at us, have them listen to the disclaimer that was like 5-10 minutes long, whatever it was.
Yeah. Yeah. And then tell them it was even longer than that, you know, just to make us look good.
Exactly. So let's go ahead and jump into the episodes we watched for today's show. The very first episode, highest rated episode, and finally, random listener chosen episode. What am I ready to pick out of these episodes of Fall Chronologically? But of course, we have to start with the very first episode being Ejaculation, season one, episode one. So it starts out with a bang.
So, yeah. That, I mean, that right there tells you what kind of show this is going to be.
Yeah. It's not hiding anything from you.
No, not at all. And neither is Andrew as we get into this episode.
As Andrew falls under the spell of the Randy hormone monster, his buddy Nick becomes obsessed with the lack of changes in his own bodies, and the gang goes to the school dance. That's just an added part onto the end of that. So yeah, that kind of sums up the episode. But let's, instead of like walking through an episode like we normally would, since we're kind of spoilery free on this, let's just like name some of our favorite parts of it.
Okay, well, the first two, I just want to explain like a little bit about who these characters are. So you got Nick, who's kind of the every kid, I think, who is also a late bloomer. And that is like a big issue for him throughout the entire series.
Mm-hmm.
And his best friend is Andrew, who is kind of the every Jew kid. And, you know, he's lots of stereotypical Jew jokes in there as far as he's concerned. But he is developing... not a lot, but at a much quicker rate than his best friend, Nick, which is going to be an issue in this episode. And the big thing that, I mean, this whole series is about going through puberty.
Sure.
And a big part of that is represented through the hormone monster named Murray, who shows up and starts talking with Andrew and just kind of is just like, hey, I'm the hormone monster, you know, kind of thing. And that's representing the journey through puberty beginning.
And the really weird, anyone who's gone through puberty, which hopefully is anyone who's listening to this episode still, it's those really weird kind of urges and impulses you have as a teenager. We're just like, why am I thinking this? Like, this is the stupidest thing. Like, I can't really explain it, but you know what I'm talking about.
Like, you're sitting in the middle of like your math class and all of a sudden you got a weird boner and you don't know why. Or, you know, or you're not attracted to math.
Yeah. You like imagine yourself like having sex with like a tomato or something.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I never did that, but maybe a snack pack, you know, but, but not a tomato. But this is the gist of the series, is these kids going through puberty and the urges and the thoughts and the hormones are represented by these monsters, and the boy's version is Murray and the female version is Connie.
The hormone monster and monstrous are probably the highlights of the show. Not that the rest of the show is not good, but anytime they're on screen, it's just hilarious. Like,
oh yeah.
If it feels like it's going a little slow in a part, like they'll jump out and that just changes the whole mood and it just picks you up. There are moments where it's just like, there's one that I remember where Andrew is sleeping over at Nick's and I mean, that's an integral part of the episode. And in doing so, like Nick's asleep on the bed and Andrew's asleep or not asleep. He's laying down on the, you know, on the mattress down there next to him,
like on the floor.
Floor. Yeah. And the hormone monster comes out and basically is trying to get, he's trying to get Andrew to masturbate to a cat clock on the wall.
Yeah.
It's just in the way he's describing it, he's just like, yeah, look at the way it's ticking back and forth, just asking for it or something.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then he's also saying like think about your dad's coworker Susan from HR or something. And
yes.
It's projecting these images of Susan on this clock while she's like got a golf club.
Yeah, she's supposed to be like golfing or something.
Yeah.
And her like hips swinging back and forth is mimicking the pendulum of the clock, basically, or the tail on the cat clock. Yeah.
And Andrew's kind of mimicking, like talking to her and like asking her about HR. That's one of the standout parts that I remember of the hormone monster from the first episode. What about you?
Yeah. just, you know, there's almost anything that Murray does in this episode. It just sticks with me because I think it's hilarious, but, There's two things in particular that really got me in this episode that I thought were hilarious. One was when he was at the dance and this girl Missy asked Andrew to dance with him and they're dancing and Murray's kind of like get a little closer. Yeah, get a little closer. Ooh, feel that, you know, rubbing against you. So he's like, it looks like Murray's pushing Andrew more into Missy, But if this was like reality, it's just Andrew doing it on his own record because his hormones are really just, you know, uncontrollable at this point. But it's just like Murray Presnum, and then Andrew's like, oh, yeah. Oh, and then Murray's like, oh, we need to back off. We need to back off. Abort.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Andrew just jizzes in his pants. He's right like, there.
Too late.
Yeah.
And the faces Andrew makes whenever he has an orgasm is hilarious. He's just like, and his face contorts and his eyes kind of like go cockeyed and stuff. And I just think that's really funny. And the one other part that I really love with Murray was like towards the very end of this episode where Andrew was sleeping over at Nick's house and he is asleep and Murray shows up to give Andrew, I don't remember exactly if I think it was just to give Andrew some like wet dreams or something. And Nick sees Murray and he's like, what are you doing here? And he's just like, you know, basically says what he's doing. He's like, oh, I'm here to give your friend Andrew, like, you know, some sort of, you know, wet dreams or whatever he says. Freaking Nick's like, oh, are you the puberty fairy? And the hormone monster's like, what the fuck did you just call me?
Yeah.
Just so offended. He's like, I mean, I mess around with guys, but I'm not a fairy.
Yeah. You've also got Coach Steve, who is completely, he's the most socially awkward person in the show. I don't even know how to describe his character necessarily, but everything he says is just weird. And uncomfortable.
He's really, yeah, he's really awkward. He's really disgusting.
Yeah.
In like that Danny DeVito from Always Sunny in Philadelphia type disgusting. And that he just, his hygiene's terrible. It just, everything he does is super gross.
Right.
But he doesn't have the same kind of intelligence. Like this guy is a complete moron.
Oh yeah.
In a much worse way. Enough that like he does get mistaken for being mentally handicapped quite often.
Oh yeah.
And I love when we see his hormone monster.
Oh yeah. That's not in the first episode. That's like a couple episodes in, but
yeah.
Yeah.
His hormone monster is its own thing and it's amazing.
Yeah. You'll just have to wait and see that one. But
yes,
let's move on to the second episode we watched for today's show. Girls Are Horny Too, Season 1, Episode 5. A steamy novel making the rounds at school inspires Jessie to explore her own sexuality and leaves the boys totally confused about what girls want. That never changes.
No, not at all. And this is the highest rated episode so far.
For good reason. This episode is hilarious. Well, I mean, they're all hilarious. I'm going to keep saying that. Yeah. But this one, I would say, probably stands above the rest.
And, you know, and this was my favorite episode out of all of them, too, honestly. So I'm glad to see that this was the highest, because if I were to pick an episode myself, this would have been the one. I like how this one opens. I just want to mention that because it's like Andrew is going to masturbate, but he's got like this whole ceremony to it where he's like,
oh yeah,
he lights a candle and there's this solemn music playing and he's like pulling this sock out of a drawer that's been stretched too far so it doesn't fit around his ankle anymore. Everyone had that sock when you were a teenager. I mean, every guy teenager had that sock. Sorry, parents that are listening. Your kid has that sock.
The crusty sock that just doesn't fit anymore.
Oh, eventually that thing would be able to snap in half. Like Murray's there just kind of like, you know, talking to him like, you know, like it is a ceremony and he's just like calling him sir and presenting him with the sock and the scripture, which is like this bikini magazine kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which I thought was funny.
Yeah, you've got that. And then once he starts thinking about, he goes into the actual like masturbation, he's like, and it begins. And then he starts thinking about, first he's thinking about, I think the land of,
first the Land of Lakes?
Yeah, the Land of Lakes Indian girl. And
yes.
First he's thinking about the magazine that he has, I think, which is like Victoria's Secret or something. Then Land of Lakes girl.
Yeah.
And then, and this is why I brought it up, he's thinking about a tomato. And that's a
very plump one.
A very plump tomato, and that's what gets him off. And Murray comes in, or Murray's commenting on it like, oh, a tomato this time. All right, that's weird.
So there's a few things I love in this episode. One is the whole Gustavo thing, because all the girls are reading this book called The Rock of Gibraltar, which is about this guy, Gustavo. You have to say it really like,
oh, yeah. Gustavo.
Who gets turned into a horse so he can be with his love, Fatima. I don't remember the whole story why, but he's a horse. But like the girls are just obsessed over this book and just in love with it. And that's where like, Nick is talking to his sister, who's voiced by Kat Dennings, which is awesome. I love Kat Dennings, who kind of explains, he's wanting to know why all these girls are reading it and why they're acting so weird. And it's because she's like, well, girls are horny too. This gets them off. And his head explodes. Yeah. later he goes back and tells his friends and same thing.
Yeah. Everyone who hears that is like completely surprised by it. Even Murray, the hormone monster. It's like, what the?
Explodes.
Yeah.
Boom.
The book's kind of about like star-crossed lovers, and it's not like about sex as much as it is like the anticipation for that. It's
everything around sex.
Everything around sex. And that's what's really appealing to the women.
I'm just trying to think of like parts that I enjoyed. So a lot of this was about Jesse.
Mm.
This was a very like girl discovery kind of episode. And a lot of this was about Jesse she's already been going through puberty, but Jesse hasn't really taking the time to understand herself or her body or anything. That's kind of what this is about. And I like this in a non-weird way too, because it's kind of like, I feel like there's a stigma out there in that like, it's pretty commonplace for guys to talk about, sexual things or masturbation or something like that. And I feel like with girls, it's kind of like, if they're more open about it, they get slut shamed a little bit. And so this episode was very much about Jesse like learning about her her vagina and how things work and masturbation and stuff like that in a non like shaming kind of way. And I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah, and it's weird how they present it at first, and it makes you, it's kind of one of those like surprising moments when you, and I'm not going to say what happens exactly, but you'll be surprised by some of the conversations that Jesse has, I'll say. Or at least some of the characters that she has them with.
Yeah. All I got to say is, hey, girl, hey.
Yeah.
As she's going through discovery, like there's a character we haven't discussed yet. So Jesse is the girl that hangs out with them, with the two guys. There's also another guy named Jay that hangs out. And Jay is this, he's a weird kid, and he's obsessed with magic, and he's very kind of ADHD and kind of a douche in a way. And he is that boy that has way more confidence than he should. And he's interpreting Jessie's like growing confidence with herself as she's horny and he has to help her out by touching her boobs and things like this.
Right.
Yeah. He says really weird things. And to the point where there's a line that Murray says, I love, where he's just like, you're a little freak. I like hanging out with you.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So that's great. The other thing is this whole, it's a side plot, which is the whole scallops thing Andrew's parents. And Andrew's, I love dad. That whole thing. His dad keeps trying to eat scallops, but scallops make him have like very explosive diarrhea.
Yeah. He always is blaming the restaurants or something or how they prepare it, but he is just clearly has a slight allergy or something to these scallops. And so
I don't think it's this episode, but there's another episode where, I mean, this comes up a couple of times, but there's another episode where he talks about like, one time when he had scallops, he's like, he was lucky he wore big shoes because it filled up the shoes or something like that. I was like, oh, sick.
But it is a recurring joke throughout this episode too, the scallops thing.
Yes. And apparently Andrew's dad's balls are gigantic.
Oh yeah. No, that's something
we learned that. And Murray talks about it for like three straight minutes.
Yeah, I think that's good enough for that episode. The last one we watched for today's show was Pillow Talk, season one, episode six. And this one I chose because this is a very J-heavy episode. And it's so weird. But also, I'll start it off by saying that in an earlier episode, it might have been the previous episode, I'm not sure, but we find out that Jay has sex with his pillow. It seems like a throwaway thing in that episode, but then this episode almost fully revolves around that.
Yes. His pillow becomes represented in this episode as an anthropomorphic character.
Yeah.
A female character. And things ensue. I mean, like the whole journey that happens if you don't use protection, kind of ensues with a pillow.
Oh, man. What do I even say? Age discrepancy comes up, or age difference comes up.
Yes.
Keep an eye out for the bath mat too. That makes a great cameo.
Oh my God. So gross. Put on a rubber, Junior. I got athlete's foot all over me.
Yeah.
So I'm not even worried.
That's so, that's like, so gross. He has no scruples. Like, he is disgusting. He's a freak, yeah. Like Murray said.
Yeah, he is a freak. So, like, hanging out with him.
Yeah. You also get Nick, who is, I mean, this is a Nick and Andrew episode also, where Nick takes Andrew into the city to visit this old camp crush he had.
Yeah, Roland.
And I think, like, she invites him out there. I guess she's, like, one of these, like, rich kids. Like, she doesn't even remember inviting him out. It turns into a situation where Nick could have, I don't know how far it would have gone, but made out with her at least. But Andrew is kind of there, like, in the way, just being awkward as he is.
Yeah, the whole thing was, like, Nick was too afraid to go by himself. So he brings Andrew, who didn't want to go, brings Andrew with him. But in doing so, Andrew is constantly getting in the way and causing problems and embarrassing him and just all kinds of stuff. And I think my favorite part of this whole thing was the dolfoodle.
Oh, yeah. It's a dolfoodle.
There's these two people with Roland that, like, we don't really know if they're her parents or not. It's really hard to tell.
I think
Andrew even asks and they don't say it.
Yeah.
But one of them, I can't tell if it's the wife, the husband, or or what it is exactly.
Mint.
Yeah. Like, this character basically says they don't have a gender. They're mint.
Yeah.
And Mint has a dolfoodle, which is a cross between a poodle and a dolphin. And I love it. And I want one.
I like the part where when they're flying away in the helicopter and they leave Nick and Andrew behind, Mint is like shouting at him. He's like, Andrew, remember what I never told you.
There's a lot of good stuff in this one too. Like, so Coach Steve, who they talked to in the beginning of the episode, that had to sign a paper letting them go to the city. They tricked him into thinking that their parents were approving this and that they just needed a teacher to sign it. Mm-hmm. So he's just like, oh yeah, I see nothing suspicious about this at all. And he was serious. He saw nothing suspicious about it at all.
No, he said, clearly this is forged. And then he pauses for a second.
In the fires of good parenting.
Yeah, in the fires of good parenting. That's what it was.
Letting you go to New York City by yourself. So, like, one of my favorite moments with him was he says earlier that he's going to be at this bar or this tap room owned by Patrick Ewing, you know, of NBA fame. And the kids find him there later and they're like, we're like talking to one of the other employees. They're like, we're looking for a guy named Steve. And they're like, no Steve here. And they go and they see him over in the corner. He's like, hey, everyone. Hey, like, how'd you find me? Like, everyone here calls me Pendejo. Yeah. I don't know why, but Pendejo is like a derogatory way of calling somebody an idiot in Spanish.
Right.
Which I think that's great. And the best part is too, like, he doesn't actually work there and the employees are constantly telling him to leave.
Even Patrick Ewing himself is like, get out of here. Like,
it's like, we're going to call the cops if you don't leave.
Right.
And he's like, oh, he'll do it. We better get out of here.
What are you still doing here, Pendejo? Yeah.
Exactly. Which I love that. So,
man.
One other thing that, like, you guys got to look, if you watch this, and please do, you got to look out for all the jokes about Jay quoting his dad's law commercials. Because those are absolutely some of my favorite jokes in the entire series.
Oh, yeah. It comes up like almost every episode in some small way.
He's always saying some sort of quote that's just, well, you don't even know it's a quote at a time. He'll say something either super terrible or super misogynist. And someone will be like, stop quoting your dad's law commercials. And I love that every time they do it.
Also, make sure to keep an eye out for Duke Ellington's ghost because he has some really good parts in this.
Yeah, you know, we got a little bit of him in this episode, actually.
Yeah, well, he's kind of guiding the boys through the city a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And okay, so let's explain, because we didn't get to these characters that much. Let's talk a little bit about both the ghost of Duke Ellington and about Connie, the hormone monstress.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So the ghost of Duke Ellington lives in the attic of Nick's house because Duke Ellington died there. So his ghost is there. They go to him for advice on puberty a lot, and he's usually giving them kind of bad advice. That's like, you know, just not a good way to be going about things. It's usually pretty misogynist or kind of gross. And every once in a while, he'll have other like ghosts up there hanging out with him, like Whitney Houston or Prince, you know, things like that. Those are fun.
And then the hormone monstrous is, I mean, she's exactly what Murray is for Nick, except for Jesse. She's the one that's like sending her into these rages or just getting angry for no reason or crying for no reason. You know, as you do when you're going through puberty and stuff. And
if
so
you're a girl.
If you're a girl and she's like, she's explaining to her like that, you know, she needs this new bra and basically tell your mom you'll kill yourself if you don't get it and stuff like that.
Yeah. Things like that. Like, stop calling her mom, call her Susan.
Yeah, you know, call her Susan, yeah. And she always, kind of she's things. Always talking about taking a bubble bath.
I like the moments between Connie and Jesse where, like, Connie will say something snappy and be like, well, fuck you. And Jesse's like, fuck you. And she's like, no, fuck you. And they just start crying together. And
yeah.
I just love that. And it's just, you know, it's just representing the girl getting emotional because of the hormones and everything, like we keep saying. But it just the way they do it to me, I just think is so funny.
Yeah, it's really brilliant the way that they personified just puberty in that way, in such a funny way, too. It's like absolutely. They could have easily just made it without the hormone monsters and monstrous, but I don't think it would have been as effective because it's almost like you need them there as representatives of these strange things you're feeling.
Exactly.
Well, Chris, looks like it's about time we introduce our inner kids to the puberty fairy. Sorry. I mean, the hormone monster. And then, after he teaches them how to be sexually attracted to a cat clock that turns into Susan from HR, see what they thought of the cartoon, Big Mouth.
I don't get it. This cartoon keeps talking about things like hair showing up in places and wetting your pants, but not with pee. This show is just weird and super scary, but the characters were really funny. Even Coach Steve, who reminds me a lot of my dad. So I gave this cartoon 5 bowls of Puberty Fairy Flake cereal out of 5.
First off, let me start by saying that kids should definitely not be watching this show. Now that that's out of the way, while I don't necessarily understand the adult humor or puberty jokes since I'm still a child and have yet to go through it, it seems like it would be hilarious to the right audience, and I'm sure I'll appreciate it when I'm older. All that said, I would give Big Mouth 5 big bowls of Coach Steve Crunch cereal out of 5. It's crude, but for all the right reasons for the right audience. Once I grow up a little more, I'm sure I'll give this show a rewatch. This will give me the proper time to find a tomato attractive, spend $150 on a jazz hat that I love but actually looks terrible on me, and make sweet, sweet love to my 40-year-old pillow.
Just make sure you use a pillowcase, you know, before you do the whole thing with the pillow, because we've seen what happens.
Always protect your pillows.
Yeah, definitely use a pillowcase, maybe an allergenic one, just to be on the safe side.
And make sure your brothers stay away from your pillow. I'll just say that.
Yeah, you don't want to get all, I don't even want to go there.
Ugh. Nope.
So do you have any final thoughts on Big Mouth?
It's kind of just like we were saying, it's a disgusting show, but not just to be disgusting. Like, it actually does make some good points, and it uses that like a crudeness to really almost maybe not completely accurately describe how puberty is, but it makes a big joke out of it. And there are a lot of things that, you know, obviously going through it, you can relate to. You can see yourself in these kids and be like, man, I remember how awkward it was. So yeah, I definitely recommend it.
Yeah, same here. I honestly think that this cartoon is just absolutely genius in that it's not just a comedy, but also a literal coming of age story that perfectly hits on all the most awkward things that kids go through as they're becoming teenagers. And there's so much that I could relate to also. And just so many moments and things that reminded me of, you know, specific instances of when I was that age. And I also really like that it's very positive as far as sexual identities and not slut shaming or being ashamed or afraid of your body, which is really rare in any medium. And there's a lot of like, you know, there's a lot of schools and stuff like that that just have such poor sex educational programs and things like that where, you know, I look at stuff like this and I'm like, oh yeah, like these kids like in this show are actually getting like better advice and better, you know, understanding of things than I ever got when I was that age. There's things I wish I had been told, you know, back then. So I seriously enjoyed it. I'm really looking forward to another season. And it's literally like, this is one of those shows where I struggle. I'm like, it's too raunchy for me to show a future kid of mine, but on the other hand, I'm like, because it is so jokingly but still informative about certain things, I almost kind of want to show them anyway. You know, it's just kind of like, okay, I'm just going to have to take some things from this and maybe kind of translate that in a different way to help my future kids get through puberty and stuff like that, so they understand things better, because you definitely can't count on the school to do it.
Yeah, it's almost like it would make a good educational aid, like you said, if you did edit out some parts of it.
Yeah, exactly.
But there really is a lot of good information in there. And like you said, it's pretty equal playing field. It doesn't lean too heavy toward, well, I mean, Nick is the main character, if you want to call anyone a main character. So it's a lot more focused on his life, but it does give equal appreciation and love to the girls in the show as well.
Agreed.
Well, listeners, looks like our milk supply is now run dry, so it's time for us to say goodbye. And next week, we'll be watching
Disney's Adventures of the Gummy Bears, suggested by Rhea at Hermione Loves on Twitter.
Nice. I've been hoping to watch that show for a while, actually. That's a good... Have you ever seen it? I don't remember.
No, I eat them all the time, but...
Yeah.
That's about it.
Well, awesome. I look forward to talking about it with you.
Sweet.
Well, once again, I'm Joseph.
And I'm Chris.
And we'll see you next Saturday.
Presented by NerdSloth,
a place for lazy nerds.
If you like what you heard, consider donating at patreon.com/nerdsloth so we can continue bringing you quality shows. Be sure to also leave us a review and share your favorite episodes and clips on social media. If you're looking for more content, visit us at nerdsloth.com.